can use an interception. They can use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
We welcome you inside the film room on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf and Greg Cosell, senior producer of NFL Films, taking a look now at the big uglies up front, the offensive linemen. We're going to go through tackles, guards, and centers here. And we start with a former first-round pick, yeah. Brandon Albert from the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, it's fascinating. There's a number of first-round picks we're going to take a look at, and it's interesting that they've all come to the open market, because normally you don't think that way. You think of a guy taken, and some of these guys were top 10, top 15 picks, as Brandon Albert was. And Brandon Albert is a left tackle here for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's going to be very interesting to me. I think he's been up and down in his career at left tackle. It'll be interesting to see whether teams see him as a left tackle or a right tackle. Or you know what's going to be very interesting? He played guard in college at the University of Virginia. And you know, obviously that would impact market value if a team views him as a guard. But keep in mind, everybody's looking for tackles. So he's played tackle. He's had his moments where he's played it well. He's a pretty athletic kid. My guess is he'll be signed as a tackle.
Now, often offensive linemen are sort of anonymous guys, but one who is sort of a household name now, not necessarily thanks to his play, is Michael Orr from the Michael Lewis book, the overrated Sandra Bullock movie. But The Blind Side... Hello.
We're now doing movie reviews?
Absolutely. Okay. Sandra Bullock, not that good in the movie. Not a deserving Oscar. But let's talk about what we see on the real film, the good film, the game tape. Now, Michael Orr, the book on him coming in was a blindside protector. Now he's a frontside run mauler. Let's watch
By the way, he's better at this.
Right.
He's played both right tackle and left tackle in his NFL career, and he's had his better moments as a right tackle, and there's no question he will be seen as a right tackle as he's signed by a team. If you have to put him in left tackle, then I think you're a little uncertain with your offensive line situation. He will be signed as a right tackle. He's much better, as you said, Bo, as a sort of front side mauler in the run game than he is as a pure pass protector, despite what Michael Lewis said.
We don't often see trades midseason among offensive linemen, but Eugene Monroe went from the Jaguars to right, starting for the Ravens at left tackle. Another former first-round pick. What does he bring to the table?
Yeah, another Virginia player, another first-round pick. And I like Eugene Monroe. I think he has a chance to be a good player. You know, he was in Jacksonville. And in Jacksonville, you get a little lost, but he's an athletic kid. He's got good movement, good lateral movement. I thought he used his hands well. I think in the right situation... Now, maybe he just needs to go to a better team with a better environment. I think in the right situation, he could be a really good left tackle. Now, Baltimore was a pretty good environment, but they went through some offensive line coaching changes, I think, this offseason. So we'll see where he goes. But I think Eugene Monroe is a left tackle in the NFL and will be signed as such.
When you talk about finding the right spot for a guy, Roger Saffold is a great example, plugged in
great
as
example.
A rookie. Left tackle for the Rams, struggled a little bit. Now he's been playing right guard where he excelled this season.
Well, this year he played all three positions, left tackle, right guard. And in fact, there were stretches where he played right guard this year, and that's where he is right here. You're seeing him at right guard. But there were stretches where he played right guard this year, because a lot of people may not be aware that over the last 8, 9, 10 games, the Rams ran the ball very well with the rookie running back Zach Stacy, and Saffold played right guard in a number of those games, and he was a key factor in their ability to run the ball. His best position going forward may well be right guard, but as we discussed, tackle is such a premium position. He can play right tackle effectively, but we know now, Bo, that he brings a ton of versatility to the offensive line position as a starter at multiple positions. He'll be in demand. When I say demand, obviously he's not getting, you know, quarterback money or
right.
big dollars, but he'll be in demand in the free agent market.
Versatility is so important for offensive
linemen. Oh, absolutely.
And then now in today's NFL, athleticism becoming even more important for offensive linemen, especially in a scheme like the Eagles. One of the more athletic guys and used in multiple ways by the Broncos offenses, left guard there, Zane Beatles.
Yeah, and obviously this was an offense that was not built on a power run game per se. You saw him pull, you saw him in the zone run game, you saw him on screens. They used him a lot to get out in front of the screen game, both to the back and to the wide receiver, which they were very good at and used a lot. So he's not what you'd call a strong power guard. You know, you don't think of him like you know, a Steve Hutchinson type guard. That's not Zane Beadles. You think of him more as a technician and a mover. And again, you have to be aware of that. See, so much of when you sign players is how he fits your scheme. Adaptability to scheme. It's true with free agents. It's true in the draft. It's adaptability to scheme because coaches have schemes that they run. And if you sign players who don't fit your schemes, it's a mismatch. It doesn't work. So you have to understand the player, what his strengths are, what his limitations are, and adapt him to your scheme. Beadles is a certain kind of guard. He's not a power player. He's more of a movement player.
A different kind of guard, and if you're looking for a dependable veteran, Willie Colon could be the guy for you, the longtime Steeler, played for the Jets last season.
Yeah, and he's number 66 right here, and I think he's a guy that is a little more of a mauler than a mover at this point in his career. It's funny, we were just talking about Beadles. Colon's a little bit different at the guard position. You know, he's played tackle in his career. He's a solid player at this point. He's fought a lot of injuries. He's later in his career. So the question is, how much does he have left? How much are you willing to pay him? How many years are you willing to sign him for? He's clearly a plug-and-play player. You can sign him to play guard right away, and he'll give you stability and continuity.
Now, because you watch all the film, all the tape, you can tell us, some people don't watch a lot of the Cleveland Browns, and some people don't watch a lot of that interior offensive line. Tell us about the secret world of Alex Mack.
I like it. God, we're doing movie reviews. We're doing TV shows.
Mix it all.
Wow. Well, here's Alex Mack, and I like him a lot at center. I think he's an athletic kid. I think he's a good player. You know, again, now you're getting to the center position. Here you see his movement. You can see him move. He doesn't move like a big – you start out by saying the big uglies. He doesn't move like that kind of guy. He's an athletic kid. I think he works really well if you're going to do a zone run game. He works well in the screen game. I think Alex Mack, again, it's the center position. So what kind of demand that is, that's hard to say. But he's a very good center, and he's best in an athletic movement kind of offense. So I think he could be in demand.
And a two-time Pro Bowler to boot. All right, Greg Cosell breaks down the offensive line for us inside the film room on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.